Today we're going to be walking on water. We're going to be water walkers, okay? And we're going to be getting out of the boat. We're going to share that scripture together first. It's in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22-33. We're going to have a little look at that as we go through. But I did ask some people to share their dreams with us. And we've got the dreams over here. And on there, some have put some amazing things that they want to achieve. And the idea was, if you could, you would, ... So money's not an object, no worries about that. You're not anxious, you're not afraid, you're not petrified, you're not at school or at work. What would you do if you could? And on there we've got some things like they would travel to Canada, they would go to the USA if they liked it, they'd live there. Some would go to China. There's one on there about being a nurse, so she could help people. I'm assuming it's a she, it might be he, so yeah, take that back. There's one there about flying a helicopter. There's one there about loving and living fearlessly. Let me just grab another one. We've got a leak as well. God's leaking everywhere today. That's good. He says, be happy, go around the world, be a West End performer in Hamilton. Woohoo! Run a B&B. We'd all go there, wouldn't we? Bank holiday tomorrow, we're on our way. And then we've got visit all the African counties and help the poor, help people, travel all four continents, tour China, visit Canada. So there's quite some big dreams on there. My question would be, nothing is impossible with God. If that's a God-given dream and he's given it to you, then nothing should get in the way of that. Absolutely nothing. Because nothing is impossible for God. But sometimes those big dreams that we do have, we narrow down and narrow down. It's okay as long as it doesn't come to you. It might be the beginning of the rainstorm, so don't stop it. If it comes to you, we'll sort it. But those big dreams, sometimes we narrow them down and we think, well, you show me the next step and then I'll do it. Or you show up and then I'll do it. Or I'm quite comfortable in my boat and I don't want to get out of it. If God has given you a dream, then he's going to give you the resources to achieve that dream. So what is stopping you? So just have that thought going as we're going through it. The children might have had opportunity, and the adults, to write their name in cornflour. Now that's not as easy as it sounds. So if you didn't have that, we can try that out at a later date again. But we had the opportunity for people to write their name in cornflour. This week has been quite a huge week for some of our young people and the week before. So I think it's only right that we celebrate the little dreams and the steps along the journey. So those that have had exams this last week and the week before, the results, do you want to stand up? So GCSEs, AS, A-levels, new jobs. On your feet. We have got quite a number that are away. It is the bank holiday weekend. But do you know what? I just want to say, we are going to pray for you and the next steps, but your exam results do not define who you are. Your calling on your life from God is what defines you. So do not be disappointed if you did not get what you needed or what you wanted, because God knew all about it and he has qualified you. He qualifies the called, okay? But we are going to celebrate because you all put a load of work in. You all got some excellent results. You all got something out of that that you put in. So we're just going to pray for you. It's very simple, and then you can sit down and we'll not embarrass you anymore. Father God, we thank you that we can celebrate our young people. We thank you that they're part of our family, that they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you that you made them fearfully and wonderfully made, that you have their next steps planned. And I pray for courage for them. I pray that they would be able to grasp hold of you and take those next steps. And that when they take that step, you're going to meet them. So whether that's a uni place, that's a job, that's a sixth form, that's more study, that's something else, Lord, I just ask that you would bless them and anoint them, each one, and that the people that you have here, Lord, you have called them, and that you live within them by your Holy Spirit. So we thank you for them, Lord, and we celebrate their success and their hard work. Amen. Amen. Well done. There's just a verse in Isaiah 43 that I want to share with you, and it's just one verse, verse 19, and it says, "For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun it. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." God has already started something new within each and every one of us, within our church, as we prepare for the new build, for the rainstorm, within our families. So, going back to Peter being in the boat, we all have a boat. And I know Joseph said to me, to get out the boat, you need to be on a boat, but we could be in a boat. And I don't mean a physical boat, but it could be a state of mind that is our boat, okay? So, when we look at the Message translation, it says here that Peter jumped out of the boat. He didn't just take a tentative step. He jumped out of the boat. Peter walked on water. But when he looked down at the waves beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink. "Jesus, save me," he said. And Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed him by his hand. And Jesus then said to him, "Faint heart, what got into you?" How often do we start out there, jumping out the boat, going for it, and take our eyes off Jesus and start to sink when we think doubt creeps in, or we're afraid of what people think, or we become anxious, or we're in pain or hurt or grief? Now, I've got a clip to show you. It's about 3 minutes long, and it is relevant to what we're looking at about water walking, although it might be walking on custard. So we're just going to show a little bit, then we're going to stop it. I'm going to ask you a question and I want to vote, and then we'll see if the result comes out. Okay, so go, Josh.
Science tells us that humans can't walk on water. Okay, Jesus did it, but he was the Son of God, which gave him an unfair advantage. As for the rest of us, well, we have to obey the laws of physics. Even John Tickle. John can't walk on water because, like all humans, he's too big and heavy to be supported by surface tension and not buoyant enough to float.
But I can walk on custard.
But he can walk on custard. First, let's empty the pool. This swimming pool takes 27,000 litres of liquid. That'll mean we'll need a lot of custard. So we need some heavy machinery on our side.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Cement mixers and industrial bags of custard powder are the order of the day. So, John, how are you going to walk on custard?
Well, I'm going to take advantage of the properties of custard itself.
Right.
It's what's called a non-Newtonian liquid.
Obviously.
Sometimes it has properties like a liquid, sometimes it has properties like a solid. When I walk across the custard, I'm going to be doing it very quickly and impacting the custard quite hard. And under those circumstances, when you apply pressure, it behaves like a solid, so I shouldn't sink.
So does this work with any custard then?
As long as you've got corn flour or some other starchy material in it, it should work, yeah.
If you stop then, you're not stressing it anymore.
Oh, I'm going to sink very
right.
Slowly like a stone.
Into custard.
Yes.
Mm. You can't swim in custard.
Not really, I don't think so.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
So John's confident. He trusts his science. The type of custard is important here. It needs to be corn flour based and hence starchy enough to have the qualities John expects. The custard our brainiacs are making is more industrial than edible. You wouldn't want this served up on your rhubarb crumble. And we need a lot of it. A lot more than we actually ordered.
How much do we need?
I've no idea. I mean, we were told we needed a certain amount.
I'm
we've not even got
100 to 200.
Well, let's just get as much as we
can. They've had delivery today. Hello.
We probably need as much as you've got in stock. Thanks a lot. Bye.
At last, the pool is full. The big moment has arrived.
You can have a bit of a taste, yeah?
Lick.
Yes, not too sweet, but it's custard.
That is custard. All right, then.
Well, if you're ready.
I am.
John Tickle.
Right. I'm not suggesting you go home, kids, and try this with loads of custard in a paddling pool or a hot tub. Don't do that, because it'll damage it and break it. But Hands up if you think he can actually walk on custard. Okay. So the rest of you who aren't sure, put your hands up. Okay, so the majority think you can walk on custard. Those that were here early enough, did you try to write your name in cornstarch? Yeah? It's liquidy, isn't it? But it's also hard. So do you think he can do it? Do you think he can walk on custard? Yeah? Let's have a look. Let's find out.
Walk on the custard.
Thank you.
Custard. At rest, a liquid. On impact, a solid. Can it be true?
Stop walking about and you stand still. Because according to your theory, I would expect you to start to sink, as in fact you are. That's incredible. The moment you stop, you disappear.
Oh, thank you very much. Look, in fact, let me show you. Look, there it is. You keep impacting it, it's solid, and the moment I stop, it's a liquid. It's custard. John, that is incredible, and that proves it. John Tickle can walk on custard.
And that should be the end of it. Except, of course, there's the tidy matter of getting John Tickle out, which isn't easy in a non-Newtonian liquid, because the harder you pull, the tighter it grips you.
Slowly, really slowly.
Oh, really slowly.
But slowly does it, and yes, John Tickle lives to Brainiac another day.
So, those that put their hand up were right. You can walk on custard. But did you notice one thing? You can't hesitate. He went really quick along there. Did you see him? And he did the little walk of victory and went back round again. As soon as he stopped, he started to sink. For us this morning, I want you to keep that image, because God is saying to us, we need to get out of the boat. Whatever that boat is it our mindset? Is it that we live in fear? Is it that we are living in a boat of the past where there is shame or guilt or fear? Is it that we're afraid to get out of the boat? And if we're afraid to get out of the boat, then we're actually missing the future and the present that God has got for us. Whatever we have hidden in our lives and is kept hidden will have power over us. And God is saying we need to get out of the boat. You see, Satan will try to keep us in that place. He will try to keep us sinking. He will try to keep us like Peter. And as soon as we doubt, we start to sink. But we cannot allow that, because God has given us his Holy Spirit that is very powerful and lives within us. We need to call things out and confront them, because they have no power when we disarm them. And it gives life to us and freedom, as Jesus promised us. That's why he came. Have you ever been tempted to run away? That's adult or children. But you know what? You know when that happens, and if you actually do it, the stuff follows you. You don't get away from it, because it follows you. So what we need to do is to stand firm and confront whatever it is that's gripped us in fear. And if we stand firm and we face the fear and the pain or the struggle, then we will not sink any further. We don't need to run away. It takes backbone, and that's courage. In Scripture, it's courage. It takes courage to take the first step and the next step out of the boat of fear or safety. Even sometimes, if we're in a dysfunctional mindset or a situation, we stay there because people say it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't. But it's time that we acted in faith. Faith as tiny as a mustard seed will get us out of that boat and walking on water. And Peter said to Jesus, "Tell me to come." And Jesus said to him, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and he began to live a life of abundance, free from fear. Are you an adventurer? Would you like to take a risk? Take a step of faith. Maybe it's to apply for the university of your choice. Maybe it's to leave a job or start a job, start a ministry, get a past certificate. Maybe it's to make family and marriage a priority. Maybe it's to go after the dream that God's given you, be that be a nurse or traveling to Canada or to China. Surrender negative thoughts, because Jesus did not give us those. And surrender patterns of unhelpful thought and behaviours. There were 12 disciples in the boat, and only one took the risk. Jesus is asking us today, will we take the risk? Trust and obey Jesus and lay down our life for him. Because if we do that, he will give us life. And he says to us in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things are the things we need, and the dreams that he's given to us shall be added to you. We say to God, if you show me first, then I'll take the step. But God doesn't work like that, you know. God says, you take the step and I'll meet you there. So God meets us as we take the step out of the boat, not before. So the question I've got for you is, what do you want out of your life? The life that God has given you. Make up your mind. In Joshua 24:15, he said this to the people. Choose this day who you will serve, whether it will be the idols of your fathers served, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. See, we want everything that God's got for us, don't we? We don't want the negativity. We don't want the isolation. We don't want the fear factor that sort of brings us in. We don't want all that stuff that takes our eyes off Jesus. We want to be able to get out of the boat and be like that guy walking on the custard and Peter walking on the water. Peter jumped out the boat. He didn't tentatively take the step. And that guy walking on custard, he took the step and he took the next one and the next one. He didn't take the first step and think, ooh, because he would have sunk. And we saw him sink. And sometimes when we sink, it's very difficult to get out. Like it was for the guy in the custard, it's very difficult to get out. And you can't do it on your own. Sometimes you need your friends and your family to pull you out, to help you out. Sometimes that's a very long, slow process. But God wants that for all of us because he loves us and he gave his life for us to live in abundance. God will lead us by his Holy Spirit because he lives within us, for those of us that have accepted him as our Christ and our Lord and Saviour. So for all of us, the question is, what is your boat? Is it comfort? Is it safety? Is it dysfunction? Is it certain patterns of behaviour? Is it fear? Is it laziness? Is it boredom? But God is saying it's time to get out of the boat and walk on water, eyes fixed on Jesus, no hesitation. And when we do that, he will meet us. And he will take us on this life of abundance and joy. There will be pain in the offering as well. But you know what? When we get there, we don't just stay in that boat either, because he says it's time to get out of the boat. And then we do that, and you might be in China. But then he says, get out the boat, and you might end up in South Africa. He might say, get out the boat, I want you back in Basildon. So every time, you're not meant to be in one place. You see, when you're in a boat, you're usually going somewhere, aren't you? You don't stay in a boat in the middle of the sea forever and ever, because you're on a journey, you're going to somewhere, so you need to get on and you need to get off. So what Jesus is saying to us is, wherever we are, we need to be ready for the next thing, and don't let fear stop us. We need to get off the boat and be like the guy walking on the custard, taking every step without hesitation.